Greek Belgique.
Get out, you noisy little kid.
Look out, Margate, and look up your daughters, eh?
Welcome back, Peckham, to a brand new episode of the Jolly Boys podcast. On today's episode, I'm joined by Edwin, a huge fan of Only Fools and Horses and a passion for raising money for charity. So what happens when you combine those two passions? Simple. You get Only Fools and Horses auctions. Edwin shares a story with us about how he came up with the concept of earning money for several charities over lockdown. He then thought, why not get some of the Only Fools and Horses cast members on board and continue raising money for these amazing charities? Without further ado, please let me introduce to you Edwin. Hi Edwin, welcome to the Jolly Boys podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Au revoir. Au revoir, how are we today?
I am really well, thank you. This is a very special episode because you're a very good person and you do lots and lots of good things for charity. Not only do you do things for charity, you do things which involve Only Fools and Horses for charity, which is a winning combination, if you ask me. So tell me a little bit about how you got involved in these auctions.
Oh, well, Chris, it all started back in lockdown, April 2020, when we were all in a bit of a low. And I've always liked helping people and trying to make a difference if I can. So I started off by doing some daily challenges, and then I raised just over £3,000 for the NHS, for the key workers.
Wow.
Yeah.
What sort of challenges were you doing, Edwin?
I'll just give you a couple of brief ones. One, I threw a 20-mile bike ride. Now, I'm not fit and I don't ride bikes. So that was uphill. So it was quite a hard one. One of the main ones I had to do was I had to put 101 layers of clothing on, and I managed 105. It took me about an hour to put on and about 2 hours to get off.
That sounds amazing. I'd love to see some photographs of that if any exist.
One that would probably be very relevant to the awful listeners out there is I was challenged to dress up as Marlene, and I actually showed Sue when I seen Sue last, and Sue was laughing her head off.
How do I not know about this? That sounds like the funniest thing ever. Again, I'd like to see pictures of that too.
I will send you some photos for it. You might not be able to unsee the image once you've seen them, but yes, I shall do that, Chris.
Okay, thanks for the heads up.
I did that. So off the back of that, I decided to do, a good friend of mine said, why don't you do something on your offer page? I thought, okay, I give it a go, thinking I'll do one auction. So again, I did half for the NHS and half for a brain tumour awareness charity. And I think I raised nearly about £1,000 from the first one, and bear in mind it was very small from that first one. And it went so well, that people said, well, keep doing it. And then I thought, okay, I'd like to try and involve the cast members. So the very first cast member I did was Michael Fenton Stevens. And since then, I've helped another five further cast members. And they've chosen a charity, and it's been amazing.
That sounds like an incredible journey. So remind me of the first charity that you raised money for and why that specific charity. Is it a charity which is close to you?
Well, the very first one, because I said I was raising money for NHS at the time, and I mean, the NHS, they will never get enough, applauds or, the recognition they deserve, the key workers, and even still now what they do,
yeah.
The NHS will never get it enough for me. So I did half for them, and then I chose a brain tumour awareness charity, which an author fan was quite important to them, so I decided to do for half of the brain tumour awareness. So I did that. That was the first one, and then after that, like I said, I got in contact with Michael Fenton Stevens because I was messaging him about a couple of other things. I said I'd like to raise money for charity of your choice. So I did that, and then another member on the author group chose another charity. So what I've done is, Chris, is that I normally get split between two charities, an author cast member chooses one, and then a member of the OFA family, as I call them, they choose another, people who have been very supportive. That's what I try to do. The people that have been really supportive, I've let them choose charities that's close to their heart. giving something back, really.
I see. Yeah, that's a really, really good system you've got going there. We'll touch on the charity work a bit later on in the podcast, but the question that I ask everyone who joins me is, what makes Only Fools and Horses so special to you? Because I've noticed you're wearing a Del Boy flat cap. I don't know if that's your everyday fashion choice or if you're wearing it specifically because we're doing this podcast together. But what does Only Fools and Horses mean to you?
Well, as Del Boy said, he who dares wins, and he who hesitates don't. But I think for me, Chris, my first earliest recollection of OFA was the Jolly Boys outing was the first episode I remember watching with my mum and dad at Christmas.
That is amazing. I can't imagine having that as your first ever episode to start off on. I think the first episode I saw was perhaps A Touch of Glass or As One Door Closes. I think it was one of those two I remember as being my first ever episode, but you kind of started with a bang then on Jolly Boys outing.
Yeah, and I remember looking back at it, my mum and dad just laughing, and it was one of them few times that we could watch something as a family, and I think it's also as well, so I've always enjoyed it through the years and been a fan of it. But 5 years ago, Chris, I connected with it massively. I lost my memory suddenly, which is a very tragic time in my life. And Only Fools and Horses, I think a lot of people connect with OFA for one of these reasons. It got me through some so much difficult times. I couldn't sleep. The only thing that was getting me through a night sometimes was watching Only Fools and Horses. And it was one of the things that would remotely give me a smile. And from that, it's just gone amazingly, really. I've just met some amazing friends through it. And yeah, OFA means the world to me, really. I wouldn't have the life I've got now if it wasn't for Only Fools and Horses, basically.
Yeah, I can tell. And it must be so, so special to you if it's kind of the only thing that can bring you joy in such dark times. And we hear this so much running the podcast, you know, Only Fools and Horses, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, it has saved lives and just means so much to so many different people.
Yeah, definitely does. It's definitely saved me on many occasions.
Wow. Well, listen, I've had a chance to have a look at your catalogue of items that you're auctioning pre-auction. And there's some really, really impressive items there. So tell me and tell the listeners a little bit about how you get your hands on these items.
Again, I mean, these auctions wouldn't be half as successful as they have been if it wouldn't been for the kind generosity from, people don't even know that well sometimes. They'll just donate things because they're on the fan page and they want to support. But I'm very lucky that I've met some great friends through Only Fools and Horses. And without their support, these auctions wouldn't be what they were. So I have a lot of things donated by certain people. I also put my own items in as well. And also the cast members as well. The cast members, if it's for their chosen charity, they donate things or they'll sign pictures and they've done video messages. It's like for the one I've got now that I'm doing, Andre Bernard, aka Nervous Neris, she's signing a lot of photos and a couple of other items, which would be quite unique. So that's what normally happens is it's a mix between the cast members donate things and obviously friends and other members as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I can see that from looking at the items. So you've been donated things which are pre-loved, and you've got quite a few things there which are brand new, which have been signed by Andre Bernard herself. And there's some really, really lovely pieces of artwork and memorabilia amongst the items that you've got going for auction. There's some really, really nice stuff. I was very impressed. And I'm not just saying this because I have you on the podcast, but for the listeners, if you are interested in collecting Only Fools and Horses memorabilia, you know, no matter how big or small, this auction is definitely worth checking out. So the next question I've got for you, Edwin, what is the rarest item you've sold, or what is the most exciting item you've got going in this lot, which you think is going to go for the most amount of money?
I love the two-part questions. I'll answer the first one. Is actually back in December, was the last auction, and we did it in memory of the late great legend John Chalice, who was very sadly missed by us all. So there was a picture it was a 10x8 photo that was signed by John Chalice with a quote. And it was a one-off. I got this photo done by him. I'm not thinking there's another one. and he put a coat on it, and it sold for £800.
That is amazing. And what charity was that for?
So that was for John Challis's three charities that he supported. He supported Coonan Wildlife, the Tusk Society, and the Hedgehog Society. So they each got £1,250 each from that auction.
That's incredible.
It was, and I actually got a personal thank you from Carol Challis, which meant a lot to me. So that's probably, I would say, the most expensive item is £800. Then for this one, I would say for this charity, there's some great pieces in this one. I probably would say my favourite, because it's a one-off, and it's been donated by a very talented artist that I've got to know, through Zaggy. We'll come on to mention Zaggy a bit later, called Vicky Reed, and she's absolutely incredible. She captures the art. She is so talented, it's unbelievable. So she's done, I've commissioned a piece for her to do of Rodney and Nervous Neris in the van, and it's incredible. So yeah, I would say that's probably my favourite piece, I would say.
I've seen it. It is very, very impressive. And I think lots of our listeners will probably be interested in putting in a few bids with that. So tell us when the next auction date is. It's in May, isn't it?
Actually, Chris, it's a week today.
Okay, so do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about the time, the date, and how to get onto your auction to view the items? Also, before you do that, is there any way people can preview the items, or is it kind of like first come, first serve, first see type thing?
No. Like I said, so it's a week today. It's going to be the first time we've done it on a Thursday. So we always used to do it on a Sunday night, but we do it before the convention. So it's on Thursday the 19th of May at 7:30. We're going live about 7:15 to start for 7:30 or just after. I try and go on a bit earlier to give people time to come online, Chris. Basically, the charity, so the auction, the charity auctions are now run from, it's only Fools and Horses, the Only Fools and Horses social group. So it's a new group, so it hasn't got a lot of members, but it's not about quantity, it's the quality. So a lot of the people who've been involved in the auctions are on there. And basically, I'm also on Twitter. I've joined Twitter today after some advice from a certain someone. So I'm now
congratulations.
Yeah, I haven't tweeted before, but I'm giving it a go. So, but if people want to literally go on Facebook, if they're on Facebook, and search in the search bar, Only Fools and Horses social group, it'll come up. It's got the van on a Capri gear and Del Boy's mannequin in the photo. You can't miss it. If they join that, and then as soon as they've joined, if they go onto the feature section or the pinned post, the auction catalogue is there to see.
Brilliant. That's, yeah, that sounds really, really exciting. So how does the bidding process work? Is it a Facebook Live?
It is a Facebook Live. I have my trusty mannequin, my trusty hammer.
You've got your gabble. I think it's called gabble, isn't it?
Yeah, cheeky gabble. So basically, they come onto a live, I do a live stream, so I go on live. And like I said, normally go on about 1/4 hour before the auction starts, so give people time to come on. And then have a bit of a chat first with the with whoever's watching, the listeners. I've been averaging about, I'd say with the auctions I've done, about 50 to 60 people come online. So some people come on for the whole auction. I think some people come and go with certain lots that they want to see. But we have a really fun night as well. You know, we have a bit of a laugh. It's not just the auction. We have a bit of a fun, and it's, you know, the last one I did was quite emotional for John. I get quite emotional doing that one. But they come online, and what I do is I start an auction lot off, and then people put their bids in. And then when it comes down to the final two bidders, I'll say whoever's out, because you have to be careful with Facebook Lives. There can be a bit of a lag with some people's internet.
Yeah, yeah.
So how I do it is I say, so they're down to two bidders. People say they're out. Once they're out, then whoever's the last person bidding wins the item.
Okay, and how do the winners pay for the items?
So it's normally done through PayPal friends and family or bank transfer. And what I do, then all items then can either be collected or sent by a special delivery. Then once the charities are paid, I put obviously receipts up on the on our page to obviously let them know that the, you know, that the charities have received their money. Yeah, that's how it works, really. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay, and 100% of the profits made from the auction do go to the charity?
Yeah, I was going to say 100%. The other thing I was going to say, two things, is that, so whatever the final hammer price is postage on top of that. But I normally let them know what that is, you know, roughly. When I've got the item, I'll say, look, if this item's going to cost this much to post, this is how much extra it will be. So the hammer price is plus postage. But if someone buys more than one item, Chris, I can buy postage and some people collect it. And this is one of the other things is I've done, why we're doing it just before this convention coming up now. If anyone wants to buy something, that they may be able to get signed on the weekend and they can collect it because I'm going to be at the convention.
That's a good idea.
So that's what I thought, really. So, but yeah, that's how it went, really.
It sounds really, really exciting. Well, I know I'll definitely be watching the auction take place because, like I said, some of the items that you've got. How many items is it all together, Edwin? Can you remind us?
So we've got 20. So 20 lots. Okay. There's hopefully, I'll try and say something for everyone, Chris. Something for, you know, there's some really rare lots there. There's a couple of starter collections, or those I would call them. You know, there's some really interesting, it's a good mix of lots, I think.
Okay, and is Andre Bernard going to have any input on the night?
Well, I'm hoping that Andre Bernard is going to come on and watch, hopefully. We're not 100% sure, but hopefully that Nervous might come on if we can. We are working on that. But she's over the moon that we're doing this for her. So she's also doing it in memory of her dad as well. She's chosen the terrible war in Ukraine. That's where her money, half of her money is going. She's really, really pleased that we're doing it. Really, really pleased.
Yeah, well, it's all for a fantastic cause, and I hope you raise lots and lots of money. And honestly, I don't see why you wouldn't, because like I said, the items are fantastic. So do you have any other auctions planned for the future after this one, and how frequently do you run the auctions?
I was just going to say as well, because obviously just before I go on to that point, Chris, I was going to say the other charity, there's two charities for this one. So Andre Bernard has chosen her charity, and then the other charity is for the children of Palestine, because it's horrific what they go through, and that's been chosen by a very dear friend of mine, who's like a sister. I class like a sister, really. She's been there for me time and time again, and that's Rhonda. So she's all the way from Germany, so nicked by him then, as I always say to her. So that's her charity that she's chosen, but she's a very special person, and I'm really honoured to be able to do that for her. So she's really excited about the auction as well.
And have you met her just through your love for Only Fools and Horses? Is it a friendship which has grown just through what you do?
Funny enough, when I lost my dad 3 years ago, I'll never forget it. Rhonda sent me a really lovely message, which really, really touched me, really, really touched me. And our friendship grew from there, really. And she's always been a big support of the auctions. And, you know, so I wanted to be able to give something back to her. So she's over the moon that we're doing this for her. So fingers crossed I can do a really good job for her and Miss Bernard.
Perfect. And going back to my previous question, do you have any more auctions planned, and how frequently do you run them?
Yeah, like I said, I try and do about 3 or 4 a year. I'd say I've done 10 plus since lockdown. So I try and do at least 3 or 4 a year. That's what I try to average. That's what I've averaged since I've done them. The next one after this one, Chris, is going to be July. And it's going to be in memory of John Sullivan. And there's going to be another charity which hasn't been chosen yet. That's going to be in July. And we've got some very special John Sullivan items coming up. John Sullivan's family, Dan Sullivan, Zaggy, like I said, has been a massive support for me. And again, he's like a brother, really. He's been an amazing friend to me. And he speaks to Dan Sullivan, so he's going to have a chat with Dan, and Dan and the family are going to choose a family that John would have liked to be supported.
Wow, that's going to be a really, really exciting auction, because there's not very many John Sullivan things going around at all.
No, and it's been, it's an autograph that was donated, and it was dedicated, so again, someone who's been an absolute legend, really. And I think a quarter of the proceeds that's been raised through the charities has probably come from a gentleman called Alan Garland. And again, he's someone like a class, like a brother. He's been there for me more times than I can remember, really, over the last couple of years. Again, meeting for a love of Only Fools and Horses. And if it wasn't for Alan Garland and his wife, Kaz Garland, what they've donated to the auctions, the two model sets you see in the catalogue have been donated by Alan, and he's made them, and they're one-offs.
Wow.
And they're very special. And they're going to be one-offs in more in particular because Andre Bernard is going to sign them. And the dates one, the big dates model, that there's only two of them and there's no plan to be any more of them. So that's going to be quite a rare. But Alan's support and his donations really have made these auctions possible.
Wow. Well, that's great that you've got this lovely support network of people around you to help you raise all this amazing money for charity. One piece that I did see in the auction that I quite like the look of, and it was a Kenneth MacDonald piece.
Ooh, yes, that is a lot. There's reserve bids already on that one. That's the thing I was going to mention. If people want to put reserve bids in, if they can't make it on the night and they want to put reserve bids, if they contact me via the social group, if it was also social group, by the message, or just click on my name and message me directly. I check my spam folder regularly. So people want to put reserve bids in, they're more than welcome to do that. But yeah, the Kenneth MacDonald, Chris, has got a lot of interest already. That was something that was my piece that I wanted to give something quite special. So yeah. I decided to donate that to my own collection.
It belonged to you?
Yeah, I donated that. So is that one you've got your eye on then, Chris?
Well, it would look very nice hanging in my office. So what other Only Fools and Horses memorabilia do you own that you're not quite got the heart to auction off yet? Have you got anything really exciting that you're not telling us about?
Well, there's one piece in particular that's my... I've got two crown jewels, as I recall them, and they wouldn't go anywhere. I was very lucky to meet Sir David Jason 2 years just before lockdown happened. And I got a replica van door that another good friend of mine, Tim Keevil.
I know Tim. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a van, and he gave me a replica van door, and I got it sprayed up and everything, and I took it to the convention, and I took it in front of Sir David, and I said, "Could you please sign this for me?" And he did, not knowing that. And he said, "Also, David, could you put my favourite quote on it, please?" And he said, "Well, what's that?" I said, "Shut up, you tart." And I use that in everyday life. And if people don't get over, you do get some funny looks. But
yeah, I can imagine.
Shut up, you tart is my favourite. I've used that on many occasions. So he signed it, and it was amazing. And then a few weeks later, he's actually mentioned in his book, A Tale of a Life, he mentioned that he was signing a van door saying, "Shut up, you tart."
That is so cool. So you've made a bit of Only Fools and Horses history then with your door signing.
It is, and also the other thing I've got, which is very close to me, is I got a replica of the elephant picture, which I associate with Only Fools and Horses.
Yes, yeah, I saw that, and I think I saw it on eBay a while back, and I was sending it over to the boys, but a part of me really wanted to buy it.
There was, but I was lucky. I mean, there's a few out there. They are quite hard to get hold of, but I got one, and original Boots one. And David signed it, and he signed a really big signature over the elephant with Del Boy. And it means them two pieces, getting them personally signed by him, they're my crown jewels, Chris.
Those are two really cool pieces of memorabilia for David Jason to sign. I can't think of anything cooler, really. So where is your van door? Is it mounted onto a wall somewhere in your house?
Well, I've just moved at the moment. I've moved to Shrewsbury in January. So I haven't put everything up yet, but it's going to take pride of place. So it'll be the first thing I see in the morning when I wake up. And I got a couple of other nice little items as well, but they're my crown jewels.
Is it a metal door, or is it like a plastic resin cast?
No, it's actually a replica door off Reliant Regal. So it's a proper fiberglass one. So it came off a proper van. So it's not a newly made fiberglass one. It's an original door off a replica van.
I've just got visions of you looking like Simon from The Inbetweeners when he goes to Thorpe Park. He's got to carry his door around with him all day.
Oh, I've done it. I've took it on a train. I've been a train Well, I won't say the word on camera, but yeah, that word begins with the letter W.
I get you. And I think the listeners get you as well. But yeah, that's a really, really cool story. And it's amazing that you made it into Sir David Jason's book. So you are going along to the next convention, aren't you, in May? And presumably you've got tickets to meet Sir David Jason again. What are you going to take in this time? You've got to up your game. You've got to give him something a little bit more unusual.
Well, I'm glad you said this, because this is something that I wanted something special. So again, Vicky Reed, again, I can't praise her work enough. If anyone gets in touch with Vicky, I would, because she's amazing. I sent her a photo, which went a bit viral actually on Facebook. For me, again, when I lost, I love every episode dearly. But Strange Relations wasn't one of the episodes that I always took a great, you know, I liked the episode and it was quite moving. But when I lost my parents, and I have over the last 5 years, but I watch Strange Relations now, and I watch the scene where Del Boy is by Granddad's chair, and he says, and I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it, Chris, it gets me very emotional. That, for me, is, and how David did that scene, obviously they just lost Leonard, but that scene is so iconic for me, and how he touches Granddad's chair.
Yeah.
I did that to my mum's chair. I lost my mum. Mum had the same chair where she sat, and I did that. And so I asked Vicky to do this picture, and she's absolutely nailed it. So I'm going to take that and have it and get asked David to sign it for me.
I have seen that picture, and Vicky did do an absolutely incredible job. So that would be an amazing thing for Sir David to sign. You never know, you might make it in his next book. But it was really good chatting to you, Edwin, and thank you for giving up your time. Best of luck with the auctions.
I'm able to add a couple of little quick things if I have possible, but it's really quickly, because I thank you really to make. Again, Zaggy with his Lego has been amazing. Again, he's been on your podcast, and his Lego is amazing. And he's been in the papers recently, which is amazing, very well deserved. Also, just one big thank you to a gentleman called Stephen Whitlock, who was the other person who, myself, Stephen Allen Garland, we run the social group. But Stephen Whitlock does the posters, he does all the, he is such a hard worker for me, he's a very great friend of mine. So without Steve's support as well, these auctions wouldn't have been half as successful as they have been. But thank you for taking the time to speak to me, Chris. I've really enjoyed it. And hopefully people come online and enjoy the auction and bid loads for two amazing charities. As Del Boy would say, you know, it makes sense.
Of course. Well, I'll make sure that I tweet out as much information so all of our listeners can find where to find your auctions. And do you remember your new Twitter handle? Because I know lots of our listeners are on Twitter, but they might not necessarily be on Facebook. So will there be a chance for them to put bids in through Twitter for specific items?
If they want to, yeah. If people are on Facebook and they want to put a bid on Twitter, they can just if they follow me on Twitter, and then send me a message, then that'd be lovely jubbly.
Okay, which do you know your handle off the top of your head?
Well, I've only set it up this morning, but I'll try. So it's only auctions, I think it's only auctions.
Okay,
so but I have followed you, Chris, so you could probably copy and paste it as well.
Sure, okay,
get it out there for me. But thank you very much indeed, and it's been an absolute one pleasure. Del Boy would say.
But yeah, the pleasure was all mine. And one last thing before you go, Edwin. I've only got because I'm not paying for the paid account on Zoom, and it's now giving me a countdown of when I need to finish the podcast, which is new.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a new system they put in place, but I'll stop wasting time and talk about Pineapple Gate. You might not be aware of this unless you've spoken to Zaggy, because you're recently new to Twitter, but there's a guy who tagged us in an eBay auction. And it was a guy selling what he thought could potentially be the original pineapple ice bucket prop from Nelson Mandela House on Del Boy's Bar. And it was a really interesting story, actually, because he wasn't necessarily claiming that it is genuine, but his story goes, he used to own a Reliant Regal and he sold it a few years ago, and it then went on to an auction at Silverstone Races, I think, and it sold for like 65 grand. Because the person who bought it was under the impression that it was an original used in the guy who owned it before just thought it was a replica, but somebody obviously knew something about it that he didn't, and it went for a crazy amount of money. But apparently this pineapple was found in the back of this van, and it's up on eBay for £120, I think. And it's been causing lots of controversy over the last couple of days on Twitter because everyone's trying to figure out if it's the real thing. Have you had a chance to see it?
I haven't. I must have been in a cave, but I haven't seen that. But it's a job to know whether it would be real or not. Unless it can be absolutely proven, I wouldn't. I think it might have fallen out of Del Boy's pocket, maybe.
Well, this is it. The other strange thing about it is, inside the pineapple is a BBC television bucket, which fits perfectly inside. I don't know what it was doing in there, or if it was. It's just weird, but it just seems to have like loads of sort of like arrows pointing into the direction that it could be real. But I did speak to Mike Jones, who I had on the podcast previously. He was involved in writing Lovely Jubbly, the 40th anniversary book of Only Fools and Horses. And he's an Only Fools and Horses fan, but for his full-time job, he's a graphic designer. So he was able to send me the BBC logos over the years of how they've changed. And something didn't quite add up to these pictures we were seeing on eBay. So between myself and Mike, I think we've kind of decided that we don't think it is real. But it's an exciting backstory, though, and it's a part of me that kind of really wants to kind of buy it.
One of them things is, you have to have a dream, or you have a dream come true. Yeah, I'd be under the same reasoning as you, Chris.
As much as I want it to be legitimate, and as much as I'd love to own a piece of Only Fools and Horses history in the shape of a pineapple, something doesn't quite add up. And for that price, I think it probably would have gone a long time ago. And the Only Fools and Horses community is massive.
That's massive. Well, Chris, just really quickly before we go, I meant to say it while we've got, but I was very lucky to be invited to an afternoon tea with Sue Holderness as a thank you for doing, obviously, the chat, because I raised money for Alzheimer's and dementia on her behalf. So to find myself last summer, having cake served to me by Sue Holderness, we met at a neutral venue, we're sitting down having cake and with Sue Holderness.
How was that? That must have been the most surreal experience ever.
What an amazing lady she is, and it was, and she was so grateful, and she was just saying how much of a lovely time it was, and it was very special. Something I'll never forget. But to have memories like that is, you know, you can't put a price on them.
It's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, but definitely. I wanted to definitely mention that because that's probably one of the highlights for me. And hopefully getting to sit in front of Sir David again. I won't cry this time because I cried in front of Sir David last time because I mentioned my mum and I was gone. So he was amazing with me. So I'll be able to meet him this time. And just to say thank you again, really, because I think this is why Dave is doing another one, Chris, because he realises how many people he's touched. He really touched a lot of people's hearts with his many acting roles he's done, but in particular, Del Boy.
I've heard so many amazing things about David Jason and his generosity and kindness, and all the cast that we've had on the podcast previously just speak about him so highly. It's just really lovely, isn't it, that he's a fantastic actor and he's very lovable as Del Boy, but more importantly, he's a great human being. And like Sue's one of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, and she was so lovely when we had her on the podcast. I met her at conventions over the years as well, but she's just one of these lovely humans. And, you know, as was John, it's just such a lovely community of people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's going to be hard for her being at a convention without John, but I think there's going to be a lot of people around, and we're very lucky. Ulfa has touched a lot of people's hearts massively. And it, you know, it's been amazing for me, and to do these auctions and to give something back to the cast members. Again, a gentleman called Paul Allen and Declan Moran are the two people I can mention. They've donated lots of items over the last couple of years. Without people's support, these auctions wouldn't have hardly been as amazing as they have been. But I really appreciate you having me on today. And I'm looking forward to hopefully doing a pucker job next week. And there's going to be a couple of surprises as well. I have a very special guest joining me on the auction as well.
So, oh, okay. Well, I look forward to seeing it.
Too much more than that. But it's been absolutely pucker having a conversation with you, and I really appreciate your time, Chris. And I hope the listeners enjoy our chat. And you know, Del Boy would say, this time next year, you'll be millionaires.
Well, bon bouche for now. It was great talking to you, and good luck with the auction.
Bonjour.
We got some half-price crack dice and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freezing, David Bowie, LBs.